Bible says that we're the body of Christ. How many understand that principle? How many understand also that we make up the church in here? Members in particular. So when you get saved, you get not only a family, you get a father. Hallelujah. You get an elder brother, Jesus. You get the Holy Spirit. You get heaven as your home. You get innumerable promises. Are you with me? What we should have got, we don't get anymore. Hell, say amen. Amen. And then we also get a family. So if you think about it, the best thing you ever did was get saved. That's the best thing you ever did in your whole life, no matter what else you've accomplished. Jesus said you could gain the whole world and lose your old soul. And what would you exchange on that day? And me and James had this conversation before service. Even people in hell don't want other people to go there. That's how awful it is. How many knows that we have a new home? We have a new name written in heaven. But when it comes to the church, God has some areas that we need to hold on to. Tonight's going to be a good tune-up night. Somebody say, tune it up. How many knows every now and then you need a little adjustment? Now, everything now is fuel injection on our cars, but before you had to mess with carburetors. You always had to deal with it. You used to be able to work on it, but now, yeah, it's pretty hard unless you got some computer skills. In Matthew chapter 16, are you there? Yep. I want to start with verse 18. Tell me when you got it. It says this, "And I say unto you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not," what? Notice that it's going to be built. Now, Peter, it will be a cornerstone or a pillar in it, but how many knows it's built on Jesus Christ? How many knows the church will not stand without him? When it comes to notes, number one, he is the foundation of the church. Christ is the foundation of the church. Anyone who preaches less than that is missing the mark. It is not built on man or man's wisdom. It's not built on another whatever. It's built on Christ. If we keep Christ as the forefront, it says that the gates of hell shall not prevail. What I love about that is that means every generation that has been born, that the church has been active, has prevailed. Isn't that awesome? Jesus has never lost a victory. He's never lost a battle. Say amen. How many knows that even in our own lives, every person who turns to Christ is another black eye in the enemy? It's another way that God's saying, I'm showing powerful. And if you think about it, the church is in the earth, and God has such a trust in the Holy Spirit and in the people that are here that he'll give you the power to overcome. Isn't that neat? How many knows an angel could do a whole lot better job at witnessing? Say amen. But how many knows he's using us, mere mortal folks, and filled with the power of the Holy Spirit to carry out this gospel? That's how powerful and that's how assured God is that he's going to bring the victory. He's going to bring it through us, through the Holy Ghost. Say amen. I mean, that's awesome. That no matter how dark it gets in the world, it's going to be more glorious than ever. I believe we just begin to scratch the surface on all the power that's available for the church. Say amen. In Isaiah 28, verse 8:16 says this, "I lay in Zion a stone, a tried cornerstone, a sure foundation, that he that believes shall not make haste." 1 Corinthians 3, verse 11, "No other foundation can a man lay that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus." He's that cornerstone. He's that beginning. He's that place where everything is fit. When the church is out of order, it's because the cornerstone is not in its proper place. It's set so every angle can be set right. It's that chief stone. It's where it can be built. It's the only thing that's really true in the church is Jesus. Everyone else needs to conform to that image. Say amen. Now, I remember one time my dad was getting an addition built on his house. And this company came in and laid the foundation blocks. And when they did it, they were off by 2 inches. So all of a sudden, when they measured the walls, it's like, why is this low? So we began to run a true laser all the way around it and found out that the bricklayer laid the foundation 2 inches lower from one side to the other. And then the building was only like 15 feet wide. It was a little smaller poke out in the front. How many of those that just didn't cut? How many think everything would have been off from there? So we had to modify the lumber to make it go straight again. In this, we could do it, but the more it's off, the worse it gets. Had we not caught it and the wall started to go up, they would have never matched. Say amen. How many knows that we have to build upon Christ? All of us are crooked because of sin. Oh, no, he's saying amen here. He's the only thing that's true. We have to line up with him to get straight again. And when we're straight, all of a sudden now he fits us in the wall. But the problem is living stones tend to move. There are times God's got to tap us back in. But he builds us up and everything is built upon him. And you know what? It's a sure foundation. When Christ is your foundation, it will last. When storms come, you may lose a shingle, you may lose a shutter, but your house isn't coming down. But if it's built upon the sand, it's built upon the flesh, when the storms come, and they do come in life, great is the fall. Listen, we need to be able to have some endurance. It's a testimony who Christ is. Secondly, number two, the blood of Christ is the atoning price of the church. It's the payment. In Acts 20, verse 28, take heed to yourself over the flock of God, which the Holy Ghost has made you an overseer, to feed the church, which he's purchased with his own blood. Your blood bought and redeemed. That means that Christ paid the price, the atoning price for your life has been paid in full by him. See, there's no more payment need to be done. He paid the ransom in full. And it wasn't silver or gold. It was his own precious life, his blood. When I think about that, it gives me great value to know that his blood was spilled for me. I mean, that's so special. When you look at your life, never feel like you're inadequate. Never feel like you don't measure up. Because God looked at you and said, you know what? I'm going to offer my life for you. And if you were the only one, I would still do it. Jesus would have died for one person if that's the only person that was on the planet. He'd have willingly gave it. When we look at our lives, sometimes we feel so like, well, I don't measure up. I don't have this talent. I don't look like this. God said, you're this worthy. And I went after you. That's why somebody who misses it and ends up going to hell, think about it. He paid the price for them too. That you didn't have to walk in that, but you chose it yourself. Say amen. In Matthew 26, verse 28, this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for you for the remissions of sins. In Romans 5, verse 9, how much more than being justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through him. When they'll say that you're going to go through the great tribulation, that's the wrath of God being poured out. I'm serious. When I read the book of Revelation, that's the wrath. God said, I'll save you from the wrath through him. Say amen. Amen. I mean, God's got a plan for the church. Amen. Our job right now is to be a witness to the world, to share, to pray for them, to encourage, and all the more. I want this church to be a place where people can be encouraged. Amen. Say amen. I mean, we're praying for people to return to the Lord. Amen. We had several come on Sunday that returned back to the Lord. Amen. Just God laid their hand on and said, I need to go to church. And what was amazing to me is that they were calling people just to get rides. Are you going? Are you going? Until they found somebody that would take them. Amen. I mean, that's pretty awesome. It's like God's working on hearts. Keep praying. Number three, the Holy Spirit is the administrator of the church. He's also the administrator of the gifts. So if the Holy Spirit now is the governing action in the church, everything will line up. He's the president in the church. He also is the administrator of the gifts. That everything we need to exercise it and operate in it. Some of you in here have the gift of encouragement. Encourage. Some of you have the gift of helps in here. Help. Come on. How many of us, every gift matters. Many times we like all the power gifts. We like the gifts of healing, the gift of miracles, the gift of, but you know what? They all matter. To God, they all matter in the church. And he doesn't look at, just seems like some have more upfrontness or more involvement with the people when nobody saw you set the chair up, but God did. So amen. Now, when he comes in as the administrator, he has it. Some of you have the gifts of administration. You can look at something and go, I knew I worked with a pastor buddy that he had the gift of administration. He could come in anywhere and see a chaos, and all of a sudden, like in his brain, he's like, okay, that goes there, that goes there, that goes there, that goes there. That. And within an hour, it was all arranged. That's cool, amen? How many of us that's needed? That's still a gifting. I've met people that have the gift of encouragement. They can make people just feel like, oh man, I'm so much better. I'm glad I talked to you. I've seen the gift of helps in operation where it just like come along on just what was needed. I've seen word of wisdom, word of knowledge, prophetic utterances, all those giftings to the edifying of the church. See, if we take the gifts personally and try to make them say, we're all that, then we're missing it. But if the gifts of the Spirit are used to build people up, it's God. I mean, it should be something. We should walk out of church encouraged. Do you believe that? Then I'm the encourager then. Be the encourager. Encourage one another all the more as you see the day approaching. I want somebody not to come to this church because we love too much. If they tell me, Pastor, you guys just love too much, I don't like it. I can handle that. Say amen. Anything short of that, we got to work on it. Is this good? In 1 Corinthians 12, verse 28, God has set some in the church. First apostles, secondary prophets, then teachers, then miracles, gifts of healings, helps, governments, and diversity of tongues. Everything he's given is for the building up or the edifying of the body. When everything is in operation, you know what happens? It tends to increase. Well, I want to be that way. Wherever you're assembled, you know what? Lord, let the Lord work. There are sometimes God will use you in a gifting that may not be a resident gift in you, but you'll be able to operate in it and move out of it. How many of God can do that? Amen. It's the Lord. He wants to help. He wants to minister. Now, there'd be some prominent things in your life that, listen, some of you may have the gift of worship to sing. How many of that's a gifting? I don't have that gift. I make a joyful noise. I'm going to make a joyful noise in here. Okay, some of you can sing, well, you know what? Use that. In 1 Corinthians 12, verse 4, there are diversity of gifts, but it's always the same Spirit. And hear me on this. I've been in church long enough. I've seen enough of the gifts in operation. The Spirit is subject to the prophet. When somebody says, Pastor, I just can't help myself, I'm here to tell you that's a misnomer. You can't help yourself. The Spirit is subject to the prophet. Amen. I've seen people think they have this great gift and interrupt the middle of the service when it was out of order. They may have the gifting, but it's out of order. And generally, you can tell the spiritual caliber of the individual when you tell them, that's a good word, but please hold that. And they get mad and leave. Yep. Amen. Say amen. If you were that spiritual, then you would understand the correction too. Oh, no one wants to hear that. Say amen. I had a lady get so mad at me because the pastor asked to close this area, and she said, I always sit here. If I can't sit here, I'm leaving the church. She threw her offering at me and left. I came down and talked to the pastor. I go, what happened? She got mad. What can I do? Amen? He asked that area to be closed. How many knows all she had to do was move over four seats? How many of us, we need to be more mature than that? Yeah. Come on. I like it that we have things, but we need to mature in those things. Is that good? Number four, Jesus is the head of the church, his body. He's the head. A two-headed monster isn't good. If people try to be the head of the church, now there's leadership, I understand, but he's the head of the church. It should be that way. Then we submit ourselves under it. We shoulder the head. Are you with me? How many of us, that's a great place to be. That way we don't have goofy thinking. And he knows how to direct the rest of the body. You cut the head off, there's nothing left. Amen? I mean, he's the head. In Ephesians 1, verse 23, which is the body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. When I look at Jesus, he says this, I'm going to build my church. In Colossians 2, verse 19, holding the head, which all the joints giving tend to increase. What I like about the head, you know what? He does the thinking aspect. How many knows that we can get the mind of Christ? Say amen. We can get the eyes, because he's the head, we can see what we need to do. We're able to speak appropriately. Man, the truth is that when we enter into the Holy Spirit, we won't miss it in vision, we won't miss it in hearing, we won't miss it in speaking if he's the head. I mean, I think that's pretty awesome. Then we begin to voice what the Holy Spirit speaks. That's why when I take this position here as the pastor, I take it very, very seriously. Because if I'm going to say I'm going to speak for the Lord, then I need to speak from him. Then the Lord's going to hold me accountable for that action. That means I want to do it with joy. Amen. Amen? There's a cost that comes with that. Then you know what? I want to be able to pay that cost. What's private that God can do it public. Are you enjoying this so far? Yes. Number five, you've taken notes here. Love is the motive and the moving power of the church. Every member is to love one another. How many believe that? Ephesians 5 verse 2 says, walk in love as Christ has loved us and given himself an offering, a sacrifice to God, a sweet smelling savor. Listen to me. Love one another. When you come in, listen to me. Sometimes it's difficult. Every family has issues. How many agree? I haven't met a perfect family yet. The bigger the family, the more the stuff. Anybody agree with me there? Oh no, your family's perfect. Amen. But the truth is that we have family and they're still family. After a while, you just got to work through things. Well, it's no different in the church. There'll be some things. Sometimes you got to look at the family and go, I need to pray for the family. Amen? Not get offended at the family and leave the family. You're still in the family. I mean, when you cut off that relationship, you're hurting your own self too. Then, Lord, let me work through this. Amen? I may not always like that, but Lord, let me work through this. Hallelujah. How many are changing because God? If love is our motive and our moving power, you know what? We won't miss it. Didn't Jesus love people? Did he love the unlovely? Did he love those who persecuted him? How about those that beat his face in? Think about it. What if that's your reality and you have to do it in moments? Not like get hit and now, you know, a year from now, hey, I forgive him. What if it's in hours, in minutes, you have to forgive those who have just wronged you? That's what Jesus did. Look at all he forgave in just 24-hour period alone. Man, Lord Jesus, forgive me. Amen. When he said, Father, forgive them, he was bringing the greatest pardon on the planet the world has ever seen. He backed it all the way up to Adam. Father, forgive them. It backed it all the way up to Adam. That's such an awesome thing. That in just a short moment, he forgave mankind. I'm so indebted to him. Who am I in the midst of this that I should have such great glory? That we should know such a great God? How about now? Should we love one another? Absolutely. Since you've been loved, you know what? What can somebody really do to you? Honestly. Honestly. That God couldn't forgive and work through. I know there's been detestable things, but God has shown so much grace. Amen? Is this good tonight? 1 Corinthians 13:13 says this, now abides faith, hope, and love, and the greatest of these is love. The others are important, but the greatest of these is love. If we're loved, listen to me, every gift of the Spirit operates by love. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word. But how does it work? It works by love. So you want more faith to operate? How about your love? What are you doing with that area? When you see a need, it's because you're broken. Lord, I want to see you meet that need because you love the people. When you're loving the people, you'll get the power where it's needed. Kind of quiet today. You can make some noise. 1 John 4:16, and we've known that and believed that the love God has for us, God is love. He that dwells in him loves God and God in him. When we love, all of a sudden we represent who the kingdom is. And you know what? God's a good God. He's a good God. I mean, it's a special relationship that we have. It really is. I have real siblings. I have real family. I've learned this. If somebody's saved, there are times you have more in common with that individual than you do your own family, even though they're flesh and blood. There's something about that spiritual side that draws in. Can I get an amen to that? Amen. Now, it doesn't mean they're not family. It doesn't mean they're not part of your life. But there's something about that spiritual side, knowing that Jesus is your Lord too. Enough of that. What number am I on? Number six. Prayer is the life of the church, the power that brings the release. I said prayer is the life of the church. It's the power that brings the release. In Acts chapter 12, verse 5, Peter was kept in prison, but prayer was made for him without ceasing unto God for him. Listen, we need that also. If somebody is bound up, whether it's in bonds, Peter didn't need to be there, but he was arrested for the gospel. Prayer without ceasing. Keep praying for your family. It's what releases them from that situation. It says prayer was made for Peter without ceasing. How many of us, that's the life of the church? Didn't Jesus say, my house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations? How many of us, the less prayer has been done in the church for a long time now? How many of us, prayer needs to be in the church? Come on, many of you have been saved for a while. Remember when prayer went on for a while? I mean, prayer was part of it. You sought the Lord until he brought a victory. Now it's so much instant this, instant that, that we forgot that, hey, we need to wait on our God. Amen? I've learned this. If he didn't do it right away, he can still do it. And if I endured that day, everything still was okay. So God's good. In Matthew 18, verse 19, I say unto you, if you two of you shall agree on earth touching anything they ask, it shall be done of them of my Father which is in heaven. How many of us, the power of agreement has some great value? That means two individuals have come together with the mind of Christ about that certain situation that God's going to answer. Two are better than one. So it isn't a fleshly thing you're trying to run after. It's a spiritual thing God's promised. So the power of agreement comes together and starts to hit on that area. It's like taking a sledgehammer. I'm taking a hit, and then when I get tired, you get a hit. And I take a hit, and then you take a hit. And I take a hit, and all of a sudden, the momentum is so much greater. It doesn't wear us both out. Amen. But soon the breakthrough comes. I mean, that's power of agreement. We need that also. There are times that you need to have somebody you can agree with in prayer for something here. That they have the mind of Christ, you have the mind of Christ, go after it. That's good stuff. Thank you, yes. I mean, that's the reality of it. We need to operate in this. How much more a whole church banging on it? I want you to know that on this last Sunday, from that prayer meeting we had a couple weeks ago on a Friday, I've seen three families come that God touched them. Says, you need to get back into church. Amen? Amen. Can God do that? Yes. How many of us, God can do that? Then we need to believe that. When we pray, believe. It isn't just mouth like, God, I hope. No, this is what the Lord says. I agree with his word. How many agree for touching souls? I know we're wrapping this year up. We're going to finish strong this year. I said we're going to finish strong. Amen. The Lord's laying on my heart some things for next year. I'll bring that up in these next few weeks here. Number seven, worship of the Lord is a privilege of the church. Worship of the Lord is a privilege of the church. It's like, man, we should worship him. It's a privilege to have that. Hebrews 2 verse 12 saying this, I will declare thy name amongst the brethren. In the midst of the church, I will sing praises unto you. Psalm 81 verse 1, sing aloud, O God, with all our strength. Make a joyful noise to the God of Jacob. Psalm 95 verse 1, O come and sing unto the Lord. Make a joyful noise to our rock of our salvation. When it's time to sing, make a joyful noise. You sing off key, that's okay. You can sing with me. Amen? I'll join you with that. Hallelujah. There's so many people shout and cheer for everything else. It's time to amp it up in the church. Amen? Amen? I love it when my neighbor comes over and says, you know what? You must have had a lively service this last week. Now, he's a Christian. He hears. Somebody knows when the neighbors hear what's going on in the church, it's a good thing. And I tell him, you're absolutely right, man. We're just kicking it out. Hallelujah. And we got great neighbors here. This gentleman here watches over the house of God. Amen. He's the one that caught the guy trying to break in the shed in the back. That's good neighbors. How many of those God will bring that to you? Even if you need to ask, I'll do it for you. He even helps sometimes with our sidewalks with his snowblower. Praise the Lord. Amen? Amen. Thank you, Jesus. God's good. Then, Lord, I want to make a joyful noise. When we come into the house, I want that fragrance to be in here. Hallelujah. There's the worship that, man, we love on our God. Everyone has a view of the church even before service starts. Many times people have already made up their mind, even before the worship goes on and before a word is preached, then I want to make sure whoever comes in here experiences the love of God. The friendliness of the people. Amen? Come on. If you go to a new church, two things you need to know. Where the bathrooms are and where the sanctuary is and where you put your kids. True? You know how many times I said, hey, children go over there, bathrooms down the hall, sanctuary straight ahead. Okay, thank you. How many of us need to find all three? It's like going to a new school. Always remember, if somebody comes in that's never been here before, they don't know where to go. And generally, they won't ask for directions. But you're keen to watch. You're keen to see. And you know what? Hey, I'm glad you're here. Amen. God good? Number 8. I got 12 if you want to know. Edification or building up each other is the rule of the church. In 1 Corinthians 12, verse 19, even so, for as much as you've been zealous for spiritual gifts, seek that you may edify of the excel the edifying of the church. How many of that's the truth? You're desiring spirit, seek to excel to edify the church. If you'll do that, every gift will fall into place. Amen. In Romans 14, verse 19, let us therefore follow after all things with peace, and whatsoever you have may edify one another. In Romans 15, verse 2, let everyone be pleased with his neighbor. It's good to edification. Now, I love this when I'm a visitor at another church, especially if I'm speaking that week for them. I usually say, Pastor, let me be your greeter this week. Would you allow that? And I enjoy greeting at somebody else's church because they don't even know me. And I'm greeting them. Hey, I'm glad you're here today. I've had a few people go, hey, I never met you before. Yeah, I'm new here today. Most people will just shake my hand and go on. And it's amazing to me the looks when all of a sudden I get up and preach. And then I say something like, some of you didn't want me to shake my hand this morning. Ooh. Amen. I've had some people do this. Or do this. Walk in and turn their head like this. They don't even know me. How many of us, we can do a whole lot of things to avoid people? Amen. Say amen. How many of us, sometimes we're good at hiding? Amen. You just see the looks. Oh, yeah, you were that guy at the door, weren't you? Amen. How about if somebody's in the chair and can't find the scripture? Hey, it's right here. Let me help you out. How many of us, you can bless your row? When it's time to greet, you can cross the Red Sea. I'm glad you're here. How many of us that you can do something different? How many of us we can bring, you can change the room? All of us have the power to edify or build up. It's our responsibility. That's good stuff. Thank you, Pastor. Number nine, unity of action is the responsibility of the church. We must walk as one in Ephesians 2, 18 through 22. Talks about that we're a household of God. But everything needs to be done unified. In Ephesians 4, verse 16, the whole body fits together. It grows to increase. When we're unified, you know what? How many of us, when your body's working, it all works. Now, last Wednesday, I got up early, and has anybody ever had vertigo before? I woke up and I turned my head to the right, and it kept spinning to the right and kept spinning. And I'm focusing my eyes, and like, it's almost like, dude, it's just spinning. It's really wild, all right? And it just kept going. And then probably within a minute, my body started to heat up. It's like then the nauseousness comes because that's not a normal thing. Say amen. Not coughing, not sneezing, not doing anything. All of a sudden, the greatest nauseousness sets in. That's not fun, amen? I mean, it was that like, I try to walk, and that was fun. My mind is totally clear, but my body's doing this. Wow, I'm not even walking straight. I'm talking to myself. I'm not even walking straight. Amen? I got it to stop, but that was about it. The whole day was shot. But God's good. Amen? I had it one other time, and that time I had to go to the hospital because it wouldn't stop. All day long, spinning. Just throwing up all day long. I went in there and the doctor said, she just had it. It was a lady doctor. She said, how did you get in? She said, I had to crawl in. I go, I just had somebody lead me by the hand because I had to keep my eyes shut. I don't know why. I mean, as we have a fleshly body, even this will go away. But if I'm not here, there's something serious. I'll be honest with you. Because I'm like you all. I'll fight through anything. Amen. It's important for me to be with you. It's important to be with the body of Christ. I really mean that. It wasn't easy for Jesus to go to the cross. Amen? And it wasn't like he went there with his greatest strength. He went there whipped and beaten. Are you with me? How many of us that it wasn't an easy road even getting there? So a little hangnail is not going to keep me from anything. Amen? Number 10. The truth of God's word is the protection of the church. In 1 Timothy 3, verse 15, but if I tarry long, it says this, that you may behave yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of the truth. When it comes to God's word, we need to have it working in there. It keeps us from going astray. It also keeps us from dealing with false doctrine. The enemy always tries to sow a little leaven. If he can sow a little leaven, he gets the whole lump bad. That's why we also got to be mindful of this. And this church is great. But I just say it as a reminder. If somebody's speaking evil of Lighthouse, don't feed into that. That's leaven. They'll try to spoil the whole lump. It can be anybody. You got to look at that and say, no, 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 no. I'm not listening to that stuff. It's like if you have an issue, you go to that person. A little leaven. I'm using that as an extreme. But we have to keep it like, no, no, no. I'm not entertaining that. Because that's what wrecks the lump. Because then it goes back to the individual. What's that individual trying to do? And how much do they really have invested in it? Because if you can speak evil of the body, then you're speaking evil of yourself. That makes zero sense. Then I have to back up another level. Are you really saved? Or you just look like a sheep? Maybe you're a goat. Say amen. I mean, sometimes we put it all on the... Wait a minute, is that individual? Are you? I mean, you can't let fresh water and salt water come out of the same mouth. I mean, it doesn't work. Then Lord, let me keep it that way. Amen. I mean, as if there's an issue, you pray. I mean, as God will do it. Amen? And if you got something, then go to that individual alone. Deal with that. How many knows that's the best remedy? Is that good stuff? How many knows today's tune-up day? Somebody say tune-up. How many knows sometimes we need a tune-up? Number 11, I got two more. God himself is the center of the church. I would like to say he's the circumference of the church. When I look at Jesus Christ, he is the center. It's everything revolves around him. It's like he is it. You want to know where the center of the universe is? There's where heaven's at. Everything revolves around him. Amen? Amen. I don't know how far heaven is from here. I really don't. But wherever it is, there's the center of the universe. Hallelujah. I kind of hope it's a slow ride to wherever we go at that time when we breathe our last. I really do. I kind of hope that we can see some things passing by, but who knows, maybe, boom, you're there. I don't know. I haven't entered that realm yet. Say amen. But I think about all those who've passed on ahead of time. How many people are going to be there waiting? It's going to be a glorious day. You know, I look forward to God taking the church up. I really do. The Bible says for some it'll be morning, some it'll be afternoon, some it'll be night. But he says, watch and pray. You keep watching, you keep watching. You keep your lamp full, your wick trimmed, your oil in there. Because one day when you don't think he's coming, he's coming. How many know that's ready? It's like the bride's looking out the window, waiting for the bridegroom to come. And when he comes, he takes the bride instantly. There's no longer a delay. Oh, that's good stuff. Somebody say, God's good. Amen. Amen. My pages are stuck together. And what number am I on? All right, just see if you're paying attention. The glory of God is the end goal of the church. I said the glory of God is the end goal of the church. In Ephesians 3, verse 10 says this, to the intent that now unto principalities and powers in heavenly places make known the church the manifold wisdom of God. I love this. This is good stuff. Let me read this to you. We'll just stick it together. Verse 21 says this, unto him be glory in the church by Jesus Christ throughout all ages, world to come. Amen. In Ephesians 5, verse 27, that he may present a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but she should be holy and without blemish. God's looking for that type of bride. When the church doesn't live to this standard, you're not living to the standard of the bride. He's looking for a bride without spot or wrinkle. Now, if you're engaged to be married, wouldn't you think you wouldn't want to date a bunch of other people during that time? Yes or no? Let me date six more people while I'm engaged to you, then I'll see if it works out with you. It makes zero sense. If you're spouse to him, then you're saying you're number one. When I look at the body of Christ, how many can say Jesus is it? I'm married to him. There is no other. You can't go off to the world and be married to him. Come on, it doesn't work that way. He's keeping himself for you. You keep yourself for him. Oh, that's good preaching. Notice his goal, to present the church a glorious church, not having a spot or wrinkle. How many women want a nice dress and have a big old stain in the front? Ladies are good at picking up wrinkles. Now, us dudes, I can wear something wrinkled and go, it's wrinkled. But my wife will go, you're not leaving the house with that. I go, why? Because it's wrinkled. I go, those guys aren't going to care, but I'll care. Take that off and I'll iron it for you. And she'll do that. Amen? But they're just guys. They're not even going to care. They don't care about their stuff on the table. I care. Now, if the Lord sees, now, ladies, would you want that, a big old hunk and stain, after you've done all you could to keep it nice all day long, all week long, all month long, all year long? How long has it been in that rack? I don't see any person that wants to stain themselves before they get showed off. Church needs to be that too. We should fight to keep ourselves clean. We should do everything we can to make sure it's pressed, ready to go. Amen? That's why there's the washing of the word and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. God says, I want to present it without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. But that she should be holy and without blemish. That sounds like a glorious church. That sounds like every bride I've ever seen come down the altar. No matter what she had on, she never looks better. She's radiant. God's looking for that. The Father is looking for that bride for his son. How many want to measure up to that? Honestly, then I'm going to keep myself pure. I'm going to keep myself holy. Because I love my Savior. I don't want to do this. And that's the best way to keep yourself from sin, is you love God more than that. That goes beyond rules and do's and don'ts. No, I love him, so I don't want to. It becomes like a law unto itself. It's like, no, I don't want to. I just want to be with him. I'm free from everything else. Amen? And thank God that he can do some quick repairs. Like I've shared before, a lady tore her dress it was like almost like the doorknob. You know how some of the handles are the handle itself? I was at a wedding, and she caught on that little fringe thing on one of those door handles, and it ripped it. And it was hanging, like the train part hanging. And she was so devastated. She said, look, it's tore. It's tore. What do I do? And there happened to be a lady that day come there that had a whole sewing thing set up in her vehicle. She says, I'm a seamstress and I do repairs. She had a little machine. She had everything. She had multiple colors of the, what do you call that, yarn or string, whatever it's called, thread. And she doctored this thing up like brand new. And when this lady put it back on, it was like tears of joy. Like, I can't believe it's fixed. And all this was done before she came down the aisle. And you couldn't tell. How many knows God's done some quick repairs on us? How many's done some quick repairs here? We've kind of messed up a little bit. Oh, you're all perfect in here. You got something on you. You tore something. But somehow God still came through for you. So he can still present you the way you should be. But all of us should strive. Then listen to me. If something happens, okay. I haven't met a perfect Christian yet. Then get up quickly and repent. Get it right so you can move on. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Yes. Amen. Say, God's good. Amen? Come on. God is good. Even what we forgot, he's still good. Yes. Amen? How many need a good tune-up? Then we need to follow those things. Let's do that. Yes. Let's follow those things. And we won't miss. The greatest time is yet to come. Oh, yes. I want you to be believing for increase. How many will do that? Me and James had this conversation. I'm looking to see the world come back to the church. I'm looking to see those that once served the Lord come back again without even the hint of smoke upon their life. I mean, God can do it. God can lay on hearts. And even this, I love this. He can even find a way for people who never made it to come again. Hallelujah. He can lay it in their hearts. Let's pray more than ever. Amen. Amen. Are you with me? I'm looking to see that finish strong. If you would lift your hands towards heaven. Father, seal your word, Lord, within us. And I ask in the name of Jesus, Lord, in each part, Lord, that we have a tune-up, Lord. That, God, we just begin to adjust some things in our life. That, Lord, a good reminder, God, that we keep these things strong in you. Father, I ask in the name of Jesus for a mighty move of your Holy Spirit. Lord God, pour out like never before. Lord, upon family and friends. Lord God, those that are distant, God, to bring back in the name of Jesus. We speak revival to the state of Michigan. Father, in this area, in this region we live in, God, pour out your spirit. Lord, even those that drive by, God, compel them to come in the name of Jesus. Lay on hearts, Lord God. Lord, we need, Lord God, many things in these last days. Lord, you're able to supply all our needs according to your riches and glory. Father, your blessing upon your servants here tonight. Lord, bless them in your fullness in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Well, thank you so much for coming. I know it's cold out. God bless you. Have a great week. We'll see you soon. No more snow. We've had enough. Unless you're a teacher and you like days off. Amen.